Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, there's something missing this morning. Better. All right. A chair is a wonderful invention, is it not? There are so many different uses for a chair. Obviously, I can sit in a chair, right? And it's not until you spend Sunday after Sunday sitting on the floor with the children that you realize what a blessing a chair is. Especially when you have to get up from the floor. All right, so I can sit on a chair, and this is a wonderful thing. You're all enjoying some kind of a seat right now. But not only can you sit on it, oh my goodness, when I need to hang things on the pillars, what do I have? But the chair's a nice way to get up. Get that dust. But this is so much easier to get than a ladder. It's right there. But you can't deny you all at some point have stood on a chair for some kind of a purpose, right? But not only can I stand on the chair, it was noted at 8 o'clock service that a chair is a great way to prop a door open, right? Of course, I also noted that it's also a way if you get it just properly under the doorknob of locking somebody in a room, right? 8 o'clock service said none of them have ever done that. I don't know if I believe them or not. But chairs are fascinating. Oh, also can't forget, a chair is also a good place to hold something, right? Anybody have a chair in their house that's full of stuff? Yeah. Chairs are a wonderful invention, and there's so many different uses to them. But today I want us to look at this chair, not for its practical, physical, obvious purposes, but I want us to see the metaphorical symbolism of this chair as an opportunity as we look in our scripture today. Because what is an empty chair? An empty chair is an opportunity for somebody to sit in it, right? I look up in our choir and I see six or so empty chairs. What do I see in those empty chairs? Six or so people that could join the choir and fill those chairs and be additional voices that bring beauty to our service. I see empty chairs in the front row and empty pews, and what do I see? But I see opportunities for new people to sit within those. So today, we're going to look at this chair and consider in our lives where the empty chairs are and who it is that we're called to fill them. Well, in this three-part relationships, now looking at the relationships that we've developed, we're also looking at the hit NBC show, This Is Us, one of my favorite shows, and I was so excited to be able to bring it in through this sermon series. But the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the parents in this series, Jack and Rebecca Pearson, and the way that they've modeled good relationships and good relationship habits. But today I want to look at their two boys, Kevin and Randall Pearson. Kevin and Randall are part of triplets, Randall being the adopted part of that triplet set. And both of them, in this series, at one point, find a critical empty chair in their lives. And it's fascinating to see how they fill it. The first comes with Kevin. Kevin Pearson ends up discovering that they have an Uncle Nicky. Uncle Nicky, they were told, had passed away in Vietnam. But surprise, he finds out that Uncle Nicky is still living. But where does he find him? Living a secluded, alcoholic life in a broken-down trailer in the woods of Pennsylvania. And Kevin sees this empty chair. He sees an opportunity to have an uncle in their lives and for them to be a part of his life, even though he is rejecting all people and all relationships. So what does Kevin do? Buys a trailer, parks it next to Uncle Nicky, and isn't willing to move until he develops a relationship with him and brings him into his life. If you want to see how that goes, check it out on NBC. I'm sure through their website you can find it. He saw that empty chair, and he pursued that relationship because he saw how critical and important it could be for not only Uncle Nicky, but for his family. Now, if we look at the other brother, Randall. Like I said, Randall is adopted into this family, a white family that adopted an African-American baby. He saw how it had changed his life. He saw what the blessing was that Jack and Rebecca Pearson had seen room for one more child and had chosen to adopt him. And at one point, he realizes that even though he and his wife already have two beautiful daughters, that there's room to open themselves up to love somebody who's needing it. And he convinces his wife that they should become foster parents. And they take in a young, troubled teenage girl by the name of Deja. Now, it could be quite the challenge to take on a troubled teenager, but they saw that empty chair, they saw her need, and they invited her in and treated her just like family and changed her life. Why? Because they saw room for more, and they saw an opportunity to love somebody who needed it. I challenge us to see how we have just the same in our life. And if we go to the scripture this morning and we see Jesus with these Pharisees and how he talks to them about the empty chairs in their lives, I believe there's really truly something that we can learn. You see, here we have Jesus that's at the home of a prominent Pharisee. And what happens when he hangs out around the Pharisees? They're constantly trying to trick him, trip him, or find a way to trap him, right? And so here he's sitting there, and they're challenging him. And what does it say? But as he was sitting there at this banquet in this Pharisee's house, it says he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, and he told them this parable. When somebody invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may possibly be invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I'm going to put a pin of acknowledgement that in all of this, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, talking about how God seeks to treat us, exalt us, and welcome us to God's table. But I also know that as Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven that we are yet to experience, Jesus also says that the kingdom of heaven is happening right here and right now with how we bring Christ's presence into this world. And so I'm going to look at the second aspect of this and look at this story and challenge us as we see this chair to think about where we choose to sit. Where are the places that we choose to sit? And when we pick those places, are we putting ourselves first, or are we considering others first? And to see that there's opportunity in the second. I think about myself. I had to go this week to Kaiser, to the pharmacy, to get a new inhaler for poor Kylie that's had a barking cough this week. And I got in line, and I submitted my request for her inhaler, and they said it'll take about 10 minutes. So what did I do? I immediately turned around and I saw all the seats that were sitting there. So now I have to pick, where am I going to sit, right? And there's two options. One, I could sit as close to another human being as possible, or I could sit as far away from another human being as possible. And right now in this season with all of the bugs that are going around, I especially chose sitting as far away from somebody as possible, right? But what am I doing? When I'm seeking the chair with the most amount of empty chairs around it, one, I'm isolating myself. But two, I am denying myself the opportunity to connect with another human being, right? I'm denying the opportunity that if I sit next to somebody, I could engage in conversation and I could walk away with my life better and blessed, and theirs the same, because of choosing that seat and engaging with them. Here we are in a world where we tend to be thinking about us. We tend to be thinking about keeping me in my bubble and I'm just gonna keep to myself. Whereas we see chairs as an opportunity of where we can connect with another human being. It requires us to humble ourselves. It requires us to see another person as more valuable than us, seeing them as more valuable than our time that could be spent in our book or on our phone. It seeks to see them as an opportunity of where God can touch them through us. So Jesus challenges us of where we choose to sit. Are we intentionally sitting in such a way that God can use us and we could potentially expand our circle of friends and relationships and the way that we are blessing people and being blessed? Or are we choosing our seats to simply take care of ourselves and stay the course that we're on? Empty chairs are opportunities. But Jesus goes on. After he tells this parable, he looks at his hosts and he says, "And when you give a luncheon or dinner, do you not invite your friends, your brothers or your sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors? If you do, they might invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So now we look and see from where it is that we choose to sit and ask ourselves the question of who we invite to sit with us, who we are inviting when we throw parties, who we are inviting to our dinners, who we are inviting to spend time with us, who we are inviting to be an investment of our time, our energy, our compassion, and our care. Jesus says it's so easy to pick the people we love the most, right? Our friends, our relatives, our rich neighbors, those that can repay us. I joked first service that I hang out with Sherry because I'm waiting for one day when she's going to cook me dinner. But it's only funny if you know that Sherry does not cook. Do you invite because of what you know you will receive back? Do you invite because of the establishment of the relationship that you already have? Do you invite out of obligation? Or do we see invitation as an opportunity? Do we see invitation as an opportunity to see somebody who's needing a friend, somebody who's needing a meal, somebody who's needing human contact and human time? And are those people that we're reaching out to? Are we intentionally drawing our circle of friends wider? Because I don't know about you, but I haven't filled up my friend card yet. Somehow, there is still room. And God has those people placed right around us that could use us in their lives, not because of what they can give us back, but because what we have to offer them. And Jesus says, where does the blessing come from? But the blessing comes from God when we are opening up and being the presence of Christ to somebody who truly needs it. You see, chairs again are opportunity. Opportunity for us to create the kingdom of God by reaching out to another person, by shaking their hand, by greeting them with kind words, by inviting them into our lives, and blessing them with the presence and the friendship that we can offer. But Jesus isn't done yet. So then Jesus goes on to tell a parable. And here he says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, "Oh, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." And another one said, "Ooh, I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Aren't you all excited to go try out your new oxen? Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married. I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, What you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. You see, once again, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, right? If we jump over to the Gospel of John, Jesus tells the people, he says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. And when your time comes, I will personally come and take you there to the place that is prepared for you. And the key in that is that it says many rooms. Some translation says much room. Some of us would say room for all. And what does God desire? But God desires for God's house, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, to be full to the brim. If God would have God's way, all people would make it into heaven. All people would be in relationship with God. All people would accept Christ as their Savior and receive the blessing and reward that comes from that life. For in God's house, there is much room. So how is it that we practice that in our relationships? How is it that we see that in our life and in our heart that there's room for many, that there's room for all? And there are some sitting right in front of us, just waiting for us to reach out, just waiting for us to friend them, just waiting for us to show the presence of Christ to them, just waiting for us. Jesus says, there's much room. Jesus compels us to make the kingdom of God happen through the physical and metaphorical empty chair that's in our life. So if this empty chair and our relationships are an opportunity for the kingdom of God, how are your relationships and the way that you are expanding them reflecting the kingdom of God right here and right now? I invite us to keep considering this chair, that as we leave this place, that we don't leave this chair behind, but that we go out these doors and we search for this chair, that we seek God's guidance, and that we don't miss the opportunity to sit in it or to fill it in a way that's life-changing and life-giving to others and ourselves as well through the kingdom of God in that moment. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for your kingdom. We give you thanks that you have made room for each and every one of us, and that you have done everything you can to open the door to your kingdom and your house for each and every one of us. We give you thanks for the teaching of Jesus, for the breadth and the depth of how it shows us the way that we are called to live into the life-giving nature of Christ himself. We ask that as we go from this place, that through your Holy Spirit, that you help us to see the empty chairs and the opportunities that are around us, that you will give us the vision to see them and the hearts of courage to seize those opportunities, to seize the opportunity to make a friend, to seize the opportunity to reach out to another, to seize the opportunity to put another before us, to seize the opportunity to see that there's always more room in our lives and in our hearts, just like in your kingdom. For all of this, Lord, we pray in your precious and holy name. Amen.